are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January 4th, and we got the Jazz coming in town this weekend. We're going to talk about that today. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade, just like maybe a couple of you guys, who knows. But thanks for listening and thanks for spreading the word here in 2019. As we get started with the second half of the season coming up very soon for the Detroit Pistons. Today we're going to look ahead to Saturday night at home against the Utah Jazz. Also going to do a little trade talk. It is trade season, of course. And we're going to talk about some scenarios to ponder that could really shake things up for the Pistons, who are in kind of that stuck in the mud mode right now. I've talked about the near-term solutions and maybe the small solutions that could help retool on the fly a little bit, but maybe we're going to talk a little bit bigger picture, as I know you guys have some big ideas out there as well. We're also going to look ahead to the early part of the 2019 schedule, see how tough it's been really for the last 6 weeks or so with the Pistons, and how tough it's going to be schedule strength-wise the rest of the way. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. But the Pistons return to action on Saturday night this weekend at home against the Utah Jazz after a 1-3 road trip that went very poorly over New Year's. But this is the first of a two-game trip home for Dwayne Casey's bunch. If you mix the first part of January in with this brutal December schedule that they had, and this is the toughest stretch of the season if you look at the schedule objectively, and we'll continue pretty much all the way through the upcoming West Coast trip next week. Not huge tough opponents with the West Coast trip, but anytime you head out west, obviously something tough for any team coming from the Eastern time zone. But the Jazz are coming in on the second half of a back-to-back, so on Saturday night. So they're playing tonight. So one of those great schedule treats that you get sometimes throughout the season. The Pistons have 10 of those this year where they get the team on the second half of the back-to-back, although they have, I believe, 12 back-to-backs themselves. So not a completely balanced, not like Tom Gores and Ed Stefanski owe the commissioner's office any great treats for that there. But the Pistons are so far 2-0 this season in these scenarios where a team is playing the second half of the back-to-back against them. And one of those games was a win against Boston last month. So it's not unusual for a team to get a win against a better team in these situations. And that's what the Pistons will be trying to do against Utah, who basically has an identical record to the Pistons, two games under 500. But, you know, obviously the Jazz out in the Western Conference, they're an objectively better team than the Pistons these days. Utah is in Cleveland tonight, so worth keeping an eye on if any of those guys rest at all and maybe some minutes for the top guys. Hopefully Cleveland can at least keep that one tight so guys like Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell aren't sitting out the fourth quarter or something like that. But as we sit here on Friday late morning, no spread for the Pistons on Saturday night's game, although the Jazz are 8.5-point favorites tonight in Cleveland. Utah comes into tonight's game against Cleveland at 18-20, just like the Pistons at 17-19, two games under 500. The Utah has kind of hung around a couple of games under 500 for most of the season, especially lately. They have all, interestingly enough, they've alternated wins and losses for their last six games heading into tonight. So let's kind of hope that continues. Maybe they beat Cleveland tonight and lose in Detroit tomorrow night. So Ricky Rubio is questionable for tonight's game with Cleveland, the starting point guard, with some foot soreness. Rookie Grayson Allen, he is out. He hasn't played in almost a month as well. No anticipation that he comes back for Detroit tomorrow night. So it's pretty much otherwise, you know, the same crew that they had. Derek Favors was their big free agent question mark coming into last season, but he elected to stay with the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell, maybe you've heard of him from draft night a couple years ago. He's getting 20.1 points per game, which is down from 20.5 from last year. His rebounds and assists are down a couple tenths of a percentage point from last year too, but basically right in line. But I will throw out the term though, sophomore slump. Not quite a slump, but a little bit of a sophomore slump, because it's when you think about Donovan Mitchell's numbers, you have to keep in mind that his last year's stats also account for the fact that the first month of the season or so where he was like a regular human rookie before he absolutely blew up after that first month and just kind of turned the NBA on its head for most of the season. So he kind of turned into that robo rookie and destroyed the league after that. And if you look a little bit deeper, you know, his field goal numbers, field goal percentage wise, he's down from 44% to 41%. The 3-point percentage is down from 34% to 29%. So there actually is a bit of a drop down with Donovan Mitchell so far this season. And I figured there would be a little bit of a sophomore slump as teams game plan for him throughout the season. Maybe he takes on a little bit more of the responsibilities offensively. So, but still, you know, got the highlight dunks, and we've seen all about Donovan Mitchell as a Pistons fans. It's brutal to watch, as we know, pointing out the obvious here, but most prognostications and a lot of fans out there wanted Donovan Mitchell with Stan Van Gundy taking him in the draft a couple years back, but the Pistons went with Luke Kennard instead, and a nice player in his own right, but certainly not an all-star type of franchise cornerstone that Donovan Mitchell appears to be early on in his career. Already is early on in his career. So a big miss right there for the Pistons organization, who could use some life, could use some talent and injection like that, like they had the opportunity to get there. But in the middle, we also got Rudy Gobert, the Frenchman, still protecting the rim at a high rate for Quinn Snyder's defense, although his blocks are down a little bit. He's fifth in the league in that stat at 2.0 per game. Andre Drummond, by the way, 10th in the league right now at 1.8 points per game. We know, obviously, with rim protection, there's a lot more stats to pull out with there, though. And Rudy Gobert is the guy. I mean, he's the guy in the league that is the best at that, kind of the anchor of the defense. And they had the great defense for the last half of last season and carried that into the playoffs, where they had a strong run, beat Oklahoma City in the first round there, and just played really well, gave the Rockets a nice second round series as well. So Gobert is eighth in the league right now at 12.4 rebounds per game. We know that Andre Drummond leads that stat at 14.9 points per game. And Andre, by the way, 0.8 clear of his nemesis and rival in that rebounding stat, and who is second right now, DeAndre Jordan, newly of the Dallas Mavericks this season. Another stat that's kind of dropped down a little bit is you notice a trend here with Utah, just not quite the team they were last season at this point so far. Joe Ingles, the Australian, the three-point marksman for them, he's down on three-point shooting. I believe he was right near the top of the league last year, maybe the top of the league last year, if I'm remembering correctly, down from 44% on three-point attempts to 37% so far this year. So again, everything that for Quinn Snyder and the Jazz brought back the whole crew just isn't quite as good this year, and that equals that 18-20 record. Big disappointment so far in Salt Lake City for them. We also know, you know, they've got Jay Crowder, who knocked down five threes on Tuesday night. Looks like he's been heating up a little bit from deep. Derek Favors coming back in free agency, up and down this season, like he pretty much has been throughout his whole career. A lot of promise and a lot of ability there from the power forward position. Added more of a jump shooting touch as his career has gone on. Kyle Korver, the trade from Cleveland earlier this year, he's getting his feet wet in Utah. The veteran getting 18 minutes a game right now, throwing up a bunch of threes, hitting 40%, one of the game's all-time best from three-point land. So the beat kind of goes on for him. And, you know, we predict that Utah will continue gaining ground and maybe or start gaining ground, I guess is a better way to put it. Certainly a team that we expect to be in the Western Conference playoffs, edging out one of those teams that's already in that group right now. But it's going to be tough. They're one of 10 teams that you would look at on the surface or so, give or take, as far as teams that you would expect to be in the playoffs in the Western Conference playoffs. But obviously there's only 8 spots, so a couple of these teams are going to miss. Again, I don't think Utah's in real danger of missing the playoffs after 82 games, but stranger things have happened, and especially when you know, you got injuries and other factors in that tough Western Conference. I mean, there's a chance that maybe these guys don't get it together. And that's why, you know, games like this where it's you certainly want to take care of business tonight against Cleveland, but you look at Utah saying, you know, at Detroit, I know it's the second half of back-to-back, but certainly a game that fans and the organization would see as a winnable one. So you might see a little bit of an inspired effort from a team that needs to start stringing some wins together when talking about the Utah Jazz. But up next, we're going to do a little trade talk about how to shake things up with the Pistons roster. It is that time of the year where we're talking trades. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Go ahead and jump on board with Locked On Pistons. We got 98% males with more education and more earning power as our listening audience. So if you want to reach that group, go ahead and sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me for more details at matt_shook@yahoo.com to find out more. A little bit later on, we're going to break down the schedule a bit going forward in the 2019 portion of the Detroit Pistons season, which continues on Saturday night against the Utah Jazz. But let's do some trade talk. It is a little bit of empty calories, as we've talked about here on the show before, especially given that we're not in the room. We don't know what kind of things that Ed Stefanski is talking about. But hey, we're a daily podcast, so we're going to talk about these kind of things going forward. The trade deadline coming up on February 7th. That is now 1 month and 3 days from now, as we look at our calendars and sundials and whatever else we use to figure out the day. I guess the phone. The phone is pretty much everything in how we look up everything at this point. But anyway, the entry point to this conversation is that Andre Drummond was mentioned on NBA TV in a clip, including Grant Hill as an analyst, as a quote-unquote player that could be traded, listed with guys like Dennis Smith Jr. and Bradley Beal and Kemba Walker, and just, the usual suspects on the trade block. And we throw Grant Hill on there these days. Steve Smith of Detroit Pershing and Michigan State fame also on the desk talking to Grant Hill. I saw that clip on the Detroit Pistons Reddit, subreddit, by the way. So what's up to all you guys on Reddit? Hopefully some of the listeners carry over to the Locked On Pistons podcast. A strange place, that Reddit, of course, as we know, but still some very opinionated Pistons fans on there, and we love checking out the dialogue there. But they both, with Steve Smith and Grant Hill on the discussion, and of course we know Hall of Famer and Detroit Pistons great Grant Hill, both seem to agree that the pieces don't quite fit with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, something that we were painfully reminded of every couple so or every few days. But where does he go? That's the big question. Who needs an Andre Drummond? What team out there could use the best rebounder in the NBA, probably, and just someone who has offensive lapses, offensive holes in his game, an improved defensive player, decent counting totals on the block shots, the rim protection's not where we want it to be. Andre Drummond's defense and really NBA, all NBA players' defense is something that can be debatable. Not a lot of solid numbers out there. You got to rely on the eye test for at least parts of it. You don't know exactly what the defensive schemes are asking players to do in pick and rolls and other certain types of situations. So it's a little bit difficult from the outside. You can kind of tell on effort and things like that. And we know that Andre Drummond has had an effort issue with consistency throughout his career, something that seemed to be corrected quite a bit throughout the first half of last season, and something that's reared its ugly head a little bit, especially in these past few weeks. But you can understand, as a 25-year-old who wants to see his career go to the next level, wants to get back to the All-Star game, maybe improve that points per game total, improve the offensive outlook overall for his game, you can see where it might be frustrating. And Detroit is Detroit. The Pistons are the Pistons right now. We know that every day here on this podcast. It's a frustrating team to do a daily podcast about. I don't give 100% effort every single day here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, and it's a lot easier for me to do that than to be a starting center in the NBA and throw my body around and do the effort and energy type of things that needed to be done for him to make an All-Star team. Now, I'd like to say that I do some of those things here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, but it's a tough job. It's a tough job for a big dude who's at we know what comes along with those 7-footers and big players and physically gifted types of athletes that aren't used to, the strains and the demands of being a professional every single day. Now we know the storyline that Blake Griffin came in here and is teaching everyone all about professionalism and all of that. But and we've seen Andre Drummond glimpses of that throughout his career. A lightning rod on the Reddit streams and also the discussion on Pistons NBA Twitter. I know some of you guys are still big Andre Drummond fans, and some of you guys, and a lot of the casual fans, to be honest. He's a guy who's helped contribute to a lot of people dropping off as Pistons fans, especially early on in his career with those effort and energy issues. And some people see those as continuing in a major way. Certainly they continue in some sort of way, but debatable about how those continue. But moving him, a lot of the names that are out there, you want to move him for some young pieces, possibly some wing help, maybe even a point guard of the future type of situation, possibly some picks if you want to take a pretty big step back. And have the picks be kind of the center of the deal that you would get in return. Then you can look at three-team scenarios as well. And then if you're trading Andre Drummond and you're the Pistons, hopefully you're looking for kind of some back-end help with a starting center. I mean, you got to have some kind of better than Zaza Pachulia option if you're Ed Stefanski hoping to crack the Eastern Conference playoffs this season there. So maybe that could be in a separate deal or maybe thrown into the same kind of deal for Andre Drummond. A lot of talk lately about Dennis Smith Jr. of the Dallas Mavericks, especially with the emergence of rookie Luka Doncic, who demands the ball as the team's primary playmaker, especially going forward. So maybe Dennis Smith Jr. belongs elsewhere. I don't really know that Detroit is quite that spot. Although his three-point shooting has improved a lot in year two, and he has improved his defense as well. And again, when we're talking about opposing players' defense, tough to quantify numbers-wise, tough for me to get on the internet and figure out quickly how good Dennis Smith Jr. is defensively. You know I'm not watching a whole lot of Dallas Mavericks night in and night out, so it's tough to speak on defense of players around the league other than the obvious guys that we know are excellent defenders, the Kawhi Leonards of the world. And then we know of the guys who are black holes defensively in the world. We know that there's a lot of guys out there that have shortcomings and reputations, thinking of James Harden a couple years back, you know, stuff like that. So the real obvious answers on both sides of the spectrum are easy to come about. But a guy like Dennis Smith, is he a very good defensive player? I don't think so. I don't think he was as bad as he has been as bad as he was throughout his rookie year, which isn't to say that he was awful, but we've just been, you know, seeing stories about Rick Carlisle talking about his maybe improved emphasis on defense in his year two season for the Dallas Mavericks. And as I've talked about, it's imperative for the Pistons to improve defensively. I think that pretty much every single move that Ed Stefanski and this front office makes going forward needs to be something with the eyes of this team, the Detroit Pistons, becoming more of a force and more of a consistent defensive team. That's the identity that is built into this franchise and the one that needs to come back to not only gain back a lot of the fans, but give the Pistons some kind of winning edge, some kind of ace in the hole for them to improve upon for where they're at right now as a franchise. So, you know, probably, and then when you think about the Dallas Mavericks, you think about Andre Drummond in a trade for Dennis Smith Jr. Obviously, they've got DeAndre Jordan over there in Dallas right now. So they would need to be some kind of three-teamer where Drummond goes elsewhere, or maybe some sort of huge package where you throw Jordan in there as well. Or maybe more likely, there's really not a fit there when talking about those teams. The next place we look is Portland. It's been a long rumored and awaited Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum breakup with that franchise there. I thought it might happen after last year's destruction in the first round against the New Orleans Pelicans in this offseason. It did not. Right now, Portland is 22-16 in that jumbled Western Conference playoff race that could go in any different direction for teams like the Portland Trailblazers. I think they're fifth right now, but very close to being outside of the playoffs, just like all of last year. And we figure that's what kind of how it'll end. We, you know, that a lot of teams tied, a lot of tiebreakers, maybe even that 82nd game like Minnesota and Denver had last year. It's going to be something like that for teams like the Portland Trailblazers. They could be a team that ends up on the outside of the playoffs. Or maybe they could, maybe they, you know, we said you earlier the show that Utah, we expect Saturday's opponent to climb back into the playoff race. So someone's got to fall out. And it could be someone like Portland if they swoon a little bit. Maybe the LA Clippers, I see them as possibly not having the staying power defensively and with some of the lack of go-to options that they have over there in LA. Or maybe the San Antonio Spurs finally have a year where they cool off in the second half of the year. But, you know, looking at Portland, another team kind of stuck in neutral like the Pistons, obviously a higher wall to climb given that the Western Conference, tougher to crack contender status or at the very least playoff status there out west. CJ McCollum right now getting 21.1 points per game. His three-point shooting is down big this year to 33%, a guy that's been at or near or above 40%. Three-point shooting throughout his career. So, you know, might be a chance to buy low there if you're looking at the CJ McCollum market. And as noted here in other places, the Drummond and CJ McCollum contracts are pretty much identical in length and value this season and the next two. Obviously, Portland, given a one-for-one, would have duplicity there with Yusuf Nurkic. So obviously they'd have to move him or figure that out. You don't want to have two big centers in today's NBA eating up all your minutes and contract length and contract cap room. But it's a situation where maybe Detroit would have to sweeten the pot there, given those constraints and where the today's NBA is at. They might have to sweeten the pot perhaps significantly. Might be a situation where you attach a first-round pick to Andre Drummond or something like that, something that we know that Detroit should be reluctant to do for anything short of a great, great player. But with a player like McCollum, maybe you consider that. I don't. I'd ask for, you know, a couple or throw in a couple seconds, and I know that probably wouldn't be enough to sweeten the pot for them. But it seems like he's turned himself into an okay defender despite the lack of size there. But another situation where tough to say here from the outside. But for what you have to give up, again, I'm not super into that option as well. And then you got Bradley Beal out there too. Maybe if Washington is desperate to make moves, we know that Wall's out for the season, Markieff Morris out for a while too. Maybe Andre and a number one makes some sense there for both teams. Again, it seems drastic to attach number one to a fringe all-star like Andre Drummond for a fringe all-star in Bradley Beal, but one who, again, fits more of today's NBA, a guy who's younger too, and you know, it has a little bit more upside, you'd think, with Bradley Beal. But given the fit and the lack of Detroit options on the trade market and the direction of the franchises where Washington might be ripe for a deal, maybe that's a possible move that the Pistons could look into. Again, some centers there with Dwight Howard and Jan Mahimny. So, you know, Washington would have to figure out their center situation. The Pistons would have to figure out their center situation going forward. But the salaries are identical there. Maybe Detroit makes a corresponding move for a center or something like that. So how low or how high is Ed Stefanski willing to go to attach something to Andre Drummond to get a Bradley Beal type of situation? That's questions for the front office of the Pistons to consider. But I've got an idea for trade, though, that might make even more sense than that. But first, give us a follow on the Locked On Podcast Network. Doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Check us out on both of those platforms. The handle is the same there on both Twitter and Instagram, Locked On NBA Net. So check that out. But next I'm going to tell you about the scenario trade that I like, and we're also going to talk about the schedule a little bit here in 2019 going forward. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons Podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Bob Quinn was at the podium this morning for the Detroit Lions. You should be following the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry. You know Matt from Detroit Radio, but he's got a daily look at the Leos with the Locked On Lions podcast. Check that out on the network, which, by the way, we are the number one local sports daily podcast network out there. But here's the trade scenario that I like and I want to talk a little bit about here. Was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast on Thursday, and he's still talking about how there are rebounding issues with the Boston Celtics right now. Boston, a true contender in the NBA for the championship this year. My pick to win it all, by the way. They are 16th in the league in rebounding, middle of the pack, basically. But as Bill intimates, that's a little bit of a bugaboo for them. And you can see that becoming even a bigger problem as we look at some of the other contenders throughout the NBA, by the way. Like I said, my pick for the title, and a team that needs to take a run at it right now and basically make some moves if they make some moves, they need to be centered on focusing up, shoring up this team, this roster for this season. And that's why for Andre Drummond, I'm looking at the Boston Celtics and Gordon Hayward as the number one trade piece in a deal for Andre Drummond. Now, Gordon Hayward came over in free agency last year, making more than $30 million a year going up for this season and for the next two. Although that last year is at $34 million, a player option. For Gordon Hayward, it's the identical length of the deal with Andre and identical in that they both have player options 2 seasons from now. The trade works straight up for those two salary-wise right now, and we know that Gordon Hayward had the horrific injury last year, breaking his leg, ruining his season in the first couple minutes of the first game, and it's been slow going for him this year. Not the guy that they had hoped for when they picked him up in that deal. Obviously, he's getting 11 points a game right now in 26 minutes of action, mostly off the bench for Brad Stevens. And that's a guy who came to Boston scoring 22 points a game in his final season in Utah. So not the guy that they've been hoping for. That production was cut in half scoring-wise so far this year. Now, he did score 35 points against Minnesota on Wednesday night. Things are looking up for Gordon Hayward as the development and the recovery continues. We saw him a couple weeks ago, just not nearly the same guy as right now. But Brad Stevens might be looking at Gordon Hayward and looking at his roster and wondering if he has the horses in a winnable Eastern Conference this year and also a winnable NBA. I think that there are cracks in Golden State I think there always have been cracks with Golden City, especially with the strife that they have this year, and we'll see how things kind of come together when DeMarcus Cousins joins them at some point, probably soon, there in Golden State. And looking at a deal centered around Gordon Hayward and Andre Drummond, I think for the Pistons, that would be a step back this year because of the issues that Gordon Hayward has. He's not the explosive type of player that he was before coming to Boston. And, you know, I think that Andre Drummond's better than Gordon Hayward so far this year. I think that's pretty much probably something that would be a near consensus around the NBA. But go read the piece from Sean Corp on DetroitBadBoys.com that was released, I believe, on Thursday. Puts the Pistons situation in perspective, kind of describes how bleak things are right now. And if you're the Pistons, it might be worth taking that step back this year to kind of improve the overall outlook of this team. You know, you might want to hope that Gordon Hayward recovers going forward like Paul George has and bank on the next season. And the season after is when Gordon presumably picks up that play. Maybe he picks up that 2020-21 player option 2 years from now. Although if he plays well enough next year where he opts out of it, obviously that means you're getting good value out of the deal anyways with him playing very well next season to turn down a $34 million deal. And if he walks, he walks, you know, for that player option. I mean, you have the cap flexibility then to build around Blake Griffin. And as I've talked about on the show here many times, really every day probably, I think the Pistons need to reestablish that defensive identity. What does Gordon Hayward do for that? Well, you know, he's held his own with Utah a little bit. We'll see how he develops that with the strength of the leg coming back. But this wouldn't be a move with defense as the focus in terms of what you're getting. But I feel like removing Andre from the equation kind of improves the defense going forward, presuming that you fix that up with better rim protection with whatever you get in replacement, whether that be in free agency or a corresponding deal or something like that. That's my own personal opinion on Andre. I know that there's differing opinions on his defense, but obviously, there takes two to tango, and looking at things more from a Celtics perspective, obviously we know Boston has Al Horford, who was an all-star last year, a very versatile and center that kind of, you know, plays more into today's NBA and the style that they're obviously playing over there in Boston. But hey, first off, you might be able to play those guys a little bit together. Al Horford, we know, can knock down shots from the outside. Defensively, that becomes an issue with guarding the more traditional or more modern power forwards, by the way. But second, another thing is Al Horford's got a player option for $30 million next season. So he's in some ways an expiring deal himself. And I believe he turns that down and looks for another longer deal, cashing in on the season he had last year and also the skills and ability that he still has this year too. And if he doesn't, he has a lot of trade value this summer as an expiring piece going into next season too. And we know that Boston, as one of the smarter front offices in the league, values that flexibility more than most. And as I've talked about before, for all that Andre Drummond maybe doesn't do sometimes on the court, he does a few things, including rebounding, obviously, does a few things very well. Finishing the lobs, could be that ultimate garbage man if that's what he's asked to do and programmed to do. And I think with Brad Stevens coaching, focusing on those few things, I think he could do very well and maybe take his game to the next level. The attitude and effort, you hope that the Boston culture might take care of that. A team that's under the microscope every day, a team that needs to bring it every day as a contender. Stevens has talked up Andre Drummond before games this year. I've interviewed him and been part of the scrums pregame with Brad Stevens there. He talks about how he always plays well against the Celtics. That's a fact. We know that. And keep in mind as well that the Celtics might need more big bodies than maybe they've been accustomed to for playoff runs of the past. Come this year, you have to figure out how to stop Joel Embiid in the playoffs this year and going forward in the Eastern Conference. Jonas Valanciunas means in Toronto that there might be center minutes available against that team in the Eastern Conference Finals or maybe second round. And then, like I said, DeMarcus Cousins is another center that the Celtics might see down the line as well. So centers maybe have a little bit more value in the deep rounds of the playoffs than maybe they have in prior seasons. And if you're looking at Boston, you know, is Al Horford, Aaron Baines, and the Time Lord, Robert Williams, is that enough to counter those guys? It might be, but it might not be this year. Something for Boston fans to keep in mind. So, again, we know how much Boston values the flexibility. Drummond for Gordon straight up, maybe they wouldn't go for that. Maybe you have to throw in some more pieces. Maybe that's Reggie Bullock to help their outside shooting this year. Drummond and Bullock would both be able to serve some purposes for them and an expiring deal for Bullock as well. Something like that might possibly work. So let me know what you think about that one. Get us in touch with us on the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546. That's what I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about Drummond's trade possibilities? You got some ideas as well. Send us a voicemail, 810-666-1546. Give us a call there. We'll talk about the schedule a little bit more next week. We went a little bit over on Trade Talk today. But give us a follow on all the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and also give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Enjoy the weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys next week.